Amen. And I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28. And I think as we've made our journey through the book of Acts, and we've come to the end of this journey, the gospel has gone from Jerusalem, Judea, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And finally, God had called Paul to speak the gospel in Rome, made it all the way to Rome, the capital. And here is where he's at. And I find it interesting. He ends this book in a very interesting way by quoting out of Isaiah chapter 6. And he talks about a willingness in having an open heart to receive and believe God's word. And I don't know if you've noticed what's going on around us in today's world, that the word of God is really being attacked or even left out in some cases. The biblical illiteracy is on the rise and continuing to rise. But yet it's our manual of life. It's our hope. And if you're like me, you might get stubborn every once in a while when it comes to God's word. Why? Because in our flesh, we want to resist the things of God. And oftentimes, sadly, we want to resist the things that will actually change our lives and actually be for our good and our betterment. And there's one such case here, as we can see, as Paul is opening up. He's in prison. He's under house arrest, but they're allowing people to come and visit him. So would you join me in looking at the Word of God? If you don't have a copy, there's one in front of you. Acts chapter 28, I want to read from verse 17 to the end. After 3 days, he called together the local leaders of the Jews, and when they had gathered, he said to them, "Brothers, though I had done nothing against your people or the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. When they had examined me, they wished to set me at liberty, because there was no reason for the death penalty in my case. But because of the Jews objected, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar, though I had no charge to bring against my nation. For this reason, therefore, I asked to see you and speak with you, since it was because of the hope of Israel that I'm wearing this chain." And they said to him, "We have received no letters from Judea about you, and none of the brothers coming here have reported or spoken any evil about you. But we desire to hear from you what your views are, for with regard to this sect, we know that everything it is spoken against. Everywhere it is spoken against." And when they had appointed a day for him, they came to him at his lodging in greater numbers. From morning till evening, he expounded to them, testifying to the kingdom of God and trying to convince them about Jesus, both from the law of Moses and from the prophets. And some were convinced by what he said, but others disbelieved. And disagreeing among themselves, they departed after Paul made one statement. "The Holy Spirit was right in saying to our fathers through Isaiah the prophet, 'Go to this people and say, you will indeed hear but never understand. You will indeed see but never perceive. For these people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear. And their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. Therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen.' He lived there 2 years at his own expense, and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God, and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance." And isn't that amazing? As we come to the end of the book, all throughout the book of Acts, Paul had encountered all kinds of opposition. He was facing beatings. He was facing getting kicked out of the temple when he was preaching the word of God. He had his own people against him. He had Gentiles against him and people plotting and planning. But here, ironically, under house arrest, there was no opposition. And I think it's a very fitting and a thing for the close of Paul's ministry here in the book of Acts as given. But I want to talk to you about this whole process of developing an open heart to God's word. And I think if I were to ask you to raise your hand today and say, you know, do you want to be open to God's word? I think probably almost every single person here and say, yes, I want to be open to God's Word. Yes, I want to obey it. Yes, I want to follow it. And but there's a process that we have to go through. And I don't know if you've noticed, but in verse 22, the Jewish people, when they came to Paul, they said, we desire to hear what you have to say. We've heard rumors about, and they gave a derogatory term, this sect of Christianity. And but nevertheless, they desired to hear. And that's the first point. If we want to have and go through this process of having an open heart for God's Word, we have to listen, or to hear, it literally means in the Greek, with the ear, and to consider what is said. We have to prioritize the hearing of God's Word. And notice that he spoke with them from morning till evening, reasoning from the Scriptures. Now, I have a little confession. This last week, we do what we desire, right? We carry it through usually. Tanya had a baby shower to go to up in Morgantown, so she was out on Friday and Saturday. And so I was like, huh, this is my opportunity to go to the store and buy Doritos and donuts and all kinds of other various things. And we're going to have snacks and her mother was one funny too. She likes to snack on chips, if you hear chips. And one time, you know, as I told you, she was in the back closet, you know, so that we wouldn't get in trouble for eating the wrong things and all of that. But I desired it, so I got it. And we enjoyed that. But I want to ask you this morning, we desire a lot of different things in our life. And what we desire is what we go for, is what we listen. They desired to hear God's Word. And that's the first thing. And if you're a believer in Christ, you will have a desire to want to hear God's Word. And that's the first step. It's not enough just to listen, as we're going to see in a moment, but it's the first step. And, you know, they listened from morning to evening. This was a radical thing. And even as we look at the church back in Acts chapter 2, it says they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. In other words, they were so serious about this that they were going to do whatever it takes. And you know, we go into other countries and people travel all day long or get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to walk on foot 5 hours. And then if you give an hour long sermon, that's kind of, they feel like they're cheated out because they walked for 4 hours and they're so hungry for the Word of God. I've heard missionaries tell of these things all the time. But ask God, begin to ask God to give you a desire to want to hear God's Word, to want to read it and see what it says, to want to learn and grow. And that's the first part of this. And as we go through and see what is happening here, we can see from the prophecy in Isaiah in verse 26, he says, go to this people, you will indeed hear, but never understand. You will indeed see, but never perceive. And so it's one thing to listen, but we have to go to the next level, which means to understand. And we can see in the text that Paul used this word, or Luke used this word when he was writing about Paul. He said he expounded it to them, and so that they would understand. And that word expound means to bring together, to place or set out, to put outside, to expose, to set up. It was used in Acts chapter 7, verse 21 to talk about a baby being born or exposed. Once the baby was hidden, but now it was exposed. And so it's not enough to just hear God's Word. You have to try to understand it. And that's why we have preaching of the Word of God. That's why we work through expository preaching, which means that we expose the Word of God and go through it verse by verse and try to understand the meaning of it so that we can get to the final one, which is to apply it to our lives. See, we have to understand or bring together in our mind. And some of the people did hear in this case and some didn't. We have to go to where God's Word is exposed and explained. We have to be where God's Word. And you need to be careful what preaching and what list teachings that you listen to. There's all kinds of prosperity preachers. There's all kinds of preachers that want to give you a pop psychology sermon and make you feel good about yourself and then, you know, your best life now and all that kind of stuff. But that's not what's going to change your life. The Word of God being expounded is what changes our life. It's what sets us free. And so go where the Word of God is exposed and explained clearly, verse by verse. Go to those preachers that do that in that fashion. Paul did that. He was taking the Old Testament. He's speaking to Jewish people here. He took the law of Moses and the prophets, and all day long, like birthing it like a baby, here's what it means. Here's what it means. Here's what it means. And you know, the very foundation of the Jewish temple worship was that someone would get up and pull the scroll out of the back, and the men would be sitting on one side and the women would be sitting on the other, and they would read it. And then they would sit down and then they would explain exactly what that scripture meant. That's expounding or expository preaching. That's not a new thing. It was something that was happening even in the Jewish worship and the Jewish religion. They expounded the Word of God. And Paul testified. Not only did he expound it, but he said, this is how it worked in my life. It means he attested to or he confirmed this is why he believes it and he knows it. And he talks about it through and through. And so, folks, we need to be exposed to the Word of God. And we need to understand the meaning, not just hear about it. I say, oh, that was a great sermon. There's a few things, you know. But, you know, it's not about the sermon. It's not about the preacher. It's about what's in here. It's about what we can understand out of here. And so, to be able to go from the hearing to the understanding part, and being willing to be people that expound God's Word. And we're going to talk about it in a couple weeks when we start this healthy church. What does it mean to be an expounding listener or an expository listener? And so God has not only caused us to preach the Word in an expository way, but to listen in a way. So that means we not only hear what's said, but we make sure that we understand the meaning of it as well. Now, the next thing he mentions down in verse 26, he says, you're going to see but never perceive. I thought, well, what does that word mean? We're going to look at that in a moment. But the next part of listening, understanding, is to see with the mind's eye. Or in other words, to think about the truth or facts about God's kingdom. And you know, this will show up in how we worship God even when we sing the songs. Do you sing the songs in worship because, oh, that's my favorite song, or that has a good beat to it, or whatever? We sang that since I was growing up, and I just love the sound of that. It reminds me of times of old, or whatever. Or do you sing it looking at the facts or the truths that are in that? Do you see what we're singing about, who we're singing to, and why? To see with the mind's eye, to consider and look at the facts of God's kingdom. So he was pointing out these facts to the Jewish people here in this prison cell or in a house arrest. But it's not enough to see. And this is what he comes out and says later, because not all the people that he expounded and explained the Word of God received it, but perceive means to take action or to become acquainted with it through experience. Now, we're not all experts at everything. When I try to do mechanical things, it usually doesn't work out too well. It usually ends up with kicking that metal thing and hurting my foot or something like that. But if you are an expert with something, you can't just stand up and tell somebody how to do it. If you're a parent, or if you are changing a diaper, and because we don't have kids, I really have never changed a diaper, and I tricked my wife, as I said before, if we do have kids, you'll change the diapers, right? So it's one thing if I were to take one of these 100 of babies that are walking around and grunting everywhere and things like that, say, Pastor Mike, could you change this diaper? I would probably have it on backwards. There would be some duct tape going on, you know, to make that thing fit on properly. And but once I have done it, you can say, now you know how to change a diaper, right? You know how to do it because you've experienced it. See, a lot of people, or maybe people, especially when we're raised in the church or we know a lot about the Bible or a lot about Christianity, we know what's in here, some things that are in here, but we've never put them into practice. We never said, how does this work in my life? You know, it was an amazing thing when I grew up in the church, and we used to preach and read out of a version of the Bible that had like a language from the 16th century and all of that, like the these and the thous, and there was all these huge words and things like that. I remember the day when I read another translation, I was like, oh, you mean it really means that and I have to do this? And it was a total change of how I viewed the Scripture, because before it was just beautiful, spiritual sounding language. But when I understood it, then I knew that I had to put it into practice and actually do it, is what begins to change my life. So to perceive is to take action. It's to put God's word into practice, or what some of the people did in verse 24. He says, some were convinced, but others disbelieved. In other words, they heard it, they understood it, they saw the facts about it as Paul laid it out from the Old Testament, but they did not believe it. In other words, they didn't want to experience it in their lives for real. So if we're going to develop a heart for God's Word, we have to listen, we have to understand, we have to see, but we have to put it into practice. And I like that word convinced, because we talk a lot about God's Word, and there's some people in here that might be able to quote a lot of Scripture, or you might know a lot of the Bible stories that are written in the Bible, but are you convinced of them? And that word convinced means to be fully persuaded or to be friends with or to win one favor. And I like the last part of that definition. It means to have faith in a thing, to be persuaded of a thing concerning a person. And who are we persuaded about? Jesus Christ, that He's our Savior. But to listen and obey and yield and trust and have confidence in, that's a person that's convinced. Now, I want to ask you this morning, are you a convinced Christian or are you a doubting Christian? Are you a convinced Christian or are you a lukewarm Christian? Because a convinced Christian wants to obey God and yield to Him with every area of their lives. And that's why we meet together, because we help each other do that. We kind of encourage each other. The Bible says to spur one another on to follow Jesus together. Are you convinced about the truth of Jesus to the point that you're willing to obey Him and trust Him? I can guarantee I could go to Walmart today and I could ask every person that probably didn't go to church. I can go during church hours and say, are you a Christian? Almost every single person will probably say, yes, I am. But if I were to ask them, are you following and obeying Jesus? Most of them would maybe, what's the name of your church? Who's your pastor? I don't know. But then there's the people that go to a church meeting and they're looking at their watches. They're waiting. I want to be the first to get in line at the restaurant because of all those other church people. They're going to get there before I am and all of that. But they're not convinced of the truth about Jesus. They're not convinced that we need to follow Him and obey and completely yield and surrender to Him. And Paul spent all day saying, you know, I want you to be convinced. I don't want you to just know about this sect. I want you to know why, and I want you to experience the forgiveness in your own life. Are you convinced of the truth about Jesus that you're willing to obey and trust Him? Are you willing to go after the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind? And when we were in the prayer room this morning, one of the themes that came out was the story about the woman and Mary and Martha when they were before Jesus. And Martha was busy doing things, but Mary sat at the feet of Jesus
And Jesus said she's chosen what's better. To listen to the teaching of Jesus and say, how can I apply this to my life? Are you at a point in your life where you say, you know what, I'm ready now. I'm ready. I'm convinced that there's nothing else to live for on this planet but following Jesus. Because either it is true or it's not true. Either it's all in or it's nothing at all. Because Jesus died on the cross for our sins and rose again with power to change my life and yours. And this, what I view as we gather together as a church body, is just us encouraging each other and helping each other in our journey to follow Jesus. Are you convinced? Are you ready and willing to obey Him today fully? Are you willing to leave the past behind and all this lukewarm type of religion? Yeah, I'm a Christian because back in 1920 I went and accepted Jesus Christ. There's probably nobody from 1920 here, but you know. Back in 1970... They had a thing and they scared me about going to hell, so I walked forward. I want to tell you, those that have real salvation have a real transformation in your life because it's not a cheap salvation. It changes your life. It gives us hope. It gives us reality. It gives us forgiveness of sins. It drives us to want to follow Jesus. Like Peter said, you're not redeemed with cheap things or perishable things, but with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you convinced? You say, well, how do I move from the point of just hearing and putting into practice? Verse 27 gives us an idea of that. Number one, we need to have a heart check. And I'm not talking about just the heart that's beating in your chest. When the Bible talks about heart, it refers to the soul or the center of who you are, what makes you unique, what makes you you, what's going to still exist when you die and your body disintegrates into the dust. It's your heart. It's the center, the wellspring of life, where we make all of our decisions, where our emotions flow out of. He says, these people's heart has grown dull. Is it dull because of being devoted to too many things or to other idols? Literally in the Greek, that word dull means when the soul becomes fattened, thickened, or callous to the point of becoming stupid with no understanding. So in other words, where our heart is devoted to so many things, it becomes so thick, so callous. You know, just like my body did when I got all the Doritos and the donuts and the things like that that I shouldn't be having. Every once in a while it's an okay thing. But the thickness and the callousness grows. And what happens when a thickness and a callous grows around the literal human heart? You have a heart attack and die. So check your heart. Is it dull? Is it devoted to too many things, anything but Christ? And then we have to have a hearing check. And I know I've been accused. I know if you're a husband, you probably have been accused of having selective hearing. And I've asked my wife, why are you getting so upset at me? Because I told you this 3 times yesterday. And you're asking, when are we going to go to this place or this event? Or what are we going to do this? It's because I become dull and I didn't hear what was said. So have a hearing check. Every year I always have to go to the ear, nose, and throat specialist because I get buildup and things start buzzing and all of that. And I can't hear very well. Sometimes that could be a good thing, but I don't like the buzzing. When I preach, I was preaching up here and my ear was, but so I had to have all that removed and taken out. What needs to be taken out of your spiritual life so that you could hear? What is an activity or an addiction or a thing or a person that's getting in the way of your relationship with God that needs to be removed? Are you plugged Is your spiritual hearing to the Word of God plugged because there's so many distractions getting in the way? And then he says to check your eyes. He says they can barely hear, but they've closed their eyes. Anybody ever do that when you're reading the Bible? You read something and you're like, I don't want to deal with that right now. So in a sense, you close your spiritual eyes and say, how about a nice psalm in the book of Psalms and maybe something that will make me feel kind of reprieved and feel a little better about myself. But God has called us to check our eyes. And are they open? Are they open, or are we bound by our pride? Have our eyes closed? I don't want to hear it. And I think it begins by being honest. I think in our churches and growing up, we kind of were led kind of into this culture of never telling the truth. And what I mean by that, when we don't want to hear the Word of God, we'll just say, oh, that was a great sermon, that was nice, this sort of thing. But instead, to face reality, we should say, I don't want to hear this. Some of my favorite people in some of the churches that I had pastored, one in Chicago, would always say, I don't want to hear that. One old lady, she was one of my favorites, she'd say, Pastor Mike, I don't want to hear that. While I was preaching, was I worried about that? No, because she was the first to probably apply it to her life because she admitted that she didn't want to hear it. So I think we do well I would do well as a pastor, you'd do well as other followers of Jesus Christ, is when you don't want to hear it, is to admit it. Note that there's a problem. That's like going to the doctor, and the doctor says there's all these 10,000 things are wrong with you that you need to get right, and you say, I'm just going to keep eating the way I ate before. I'm going to enjoy life, right? But admitting that there's a problem, getting your eyes checked. And that leads us to number four. He says, if they would only understand and they would turn, or in other words, repent, I would heal them. So if we want to move from a point of just hearing to put it into practice, we have to check our heart, our ears, and our spiritual eyes. And then we have to turn to the one that can heal us. And I want to ask you this question. Don't answer it out loud, but what do you need to turn from today and turn to Jesus? You know, because if there's things in our lives that we're refusing to turn from, when the Word of God comes, it just runs into that thing. You know, we have a hearing block, and we have an eyesight block, we have a heart block. But when we repent, the awesome thing about that is when we turn to Jesus and say, Jesus, I need to be healed in this area in my life, a wonderful thing happens. The Word of God starts to get in, and it produces fruit. And notice what Paul did in verse 28 and 30. He says, 29 and 30. He says, therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They're going to listen. There will always be people that will listen. So you should listen. Be motivated to listen. He lived there 2 whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Now, where was Paul? He was under house arrest. You would think the prison system would take care of his needs. But they didn't. So Paul must have been, he was a tent maker, must have saved money and had a stockpile of money. And you would think at the end of his ministry and his life, he'd say, you know what, I'm going to use that money. I'm going to buy a house and retire on a nice island where nobody will ever beat me again or persecute me again. I'm old now. I can barely see. I just want to enjoy life. But look what Paul did. And if you want to become a person that's open to God's Word, one of the big things that you need to do is, and I need to do, is to begin to say, how can I teach and expound the Word of God to other people? What can I sacrifice and give so that the kingdom of God can be built? And so as we live and teach God's Word boldly to others, and notice Paul welcomed all who would come and listen. He didn't turn anybody away. He spent his life savings just to have food and live. And you can imagine when there's a lot of people coming, hey, Paul, it's lunchtime now. What do you got to eat? You got a sandwich in the fridge? But he spent his money, probably fed and fellowshipped with a lot of people, so that, just so that they could hear the Word of God. And I like that word welcome, because it goes all the way from just hearing the Word of God to begin to put it into practice. And the more we put it into practice, the more we're going to want to tell others. And the more we're going to be bold and welcoming other people into our lives and into our homes and to what God has given us for ministry's sake. So are you welcoming and a sacrificial believer towards others? I love this beautiful picture. In contrary to a lot of the preachers, and Paul dealt with it in his days, who were prosperity, who preached the gospel for money, he closed his life with giving his own expense for the sake of the gospel, the sacrifice for the kingdom of God. And he did it with boldness and without hindrance. Isn't that beautiful? So how about your heart today? How about your ears, your eyes? Where are you at with developing a heart that's open to God's Word? Is your heart open to God's Word today? So let's help each other do it. Because even as a pastor, my heart is not always open to God's Word. That's the reality of things. So, listen, understand, expound, see. Put it into practice. Are you convinced about the truth of Jesus that you are willing to obey and trust Him? Father, I just thank You so much for Your Word today. Thank You for the power of the gospel. Thank You for all that You have done in each and every one of our lives. And Lord, we admit our weaknesses today. That we come to You and we ask, Holy Spirit, that You begin to clean out the cobwebs out of our ears. Open our eyes. And let our heart become sharp with the truth of the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen. I just